Hey, what's going on? It's Dr. Mike Tinelson here with not another fitness podcast for fitness geeks only. And this week we've been talking about micronutrients that you may be low in. Again, you can fix that via nutrition, possibly the use of supplements also. And today we are talking about a quote micronutrient. And it's not really a micronutrient. It's probably more in the macro area, but it's still pretty small and deficiency is getting better, but still relatively high. So today we're talking about omega-3 fats and specifically about fish oils themselves. Now, micronutrients, as we've talked about before, are usually in milligram amounts or even sometimes microgram amounts. You're talking like selenium and other ones. It is true that the dosage of fish oil, you're talking about a couple grams. So we can split hairs later about if this is really a micronutrient or not. It's still a very small amount compared to how many grams of fat most people get. And there is good data to show that a lot of people now are still low in omega-3s. So specifically, the omega-3s we are talking about are the fish oils themselves. So these are EPA and DHA. You can kind of think of EPA as a little bit more for the body, especially related to inflammation. DHA is a little bit more for the brain. It's probably a little bit of an overextension, but it's pretty good. We do see that if you are deficient in these, you will have some type of disease at some point. Now, we can argue about how deficient you would have to be to see that, but we know that essential fatty acids, EPA and DHA, exactly what the title says, are essential. So we need to get them in our diet. Now, we can get them in most cases from omega-3 fats. These omega-3 fats then have to be converted down into EPA and DHA. So common sources of omega-3s are flaxseed oil, different butternuts, hemp seed, walnuts, things of that nature. The downside is that the conversion is pretty questionable from omega-3s to EPA and DHA. It's probably somewhere in the single-digit percentages, and the more unhealthy someone is, the worse that conversion is. So my thoughts are just going directly with EPA and DHA, via food sources or the use of supplements, right? So fish oils themselves, we don't have to worry about the conversion then, and that's going to be a little bit more reliable way of doing that. So if we back up a little bit, right, we've got different types of fat, and fats are used all throughout the body. Right? We've got plenty of fat and kind of fat-like substances from fatty acids. We have triglycerides, right, so a glycerol backbone with three free fatty acids. We have cholesterol esters, and we also have phospholipids. So we're not going to bore you to tears with all of those different functions. But across the body, they serve many different functions and structures. Main one is going to be the cellular membrane, or this fatty acid membrane bilayer. So these fats are what make up all of your cellular membranes. So if we have too many of the wrong types in there, you're going to be screwing up all your cell membranes. That is not going to be good. We can divide these fats, essential fats, into two camps. There's the omega-6 fat, which has been kind of billed as, quote, pro-inflammatory. Original, quote, inventor of that, per se, is Burr, which is like 1929, Journal of Biological Chemistry. And they are a little bit more on the pro-inflammatory side, but like all things, it's a little bit too simple of a story. So I tell people to avoid oils that you would find in the middle of the grocery store aisles. that are at room temperature. Saturated fat, such as coconut oil and butter, those are fine. Those can be solid at room temperature, and those are going to be okay. But we want to avoid the ones that are liquid at room temperature. The only exception there is probably going to be olive oil. So this is like your corn oils, your safflower oils. If you're at the middle aisles of the grocery store, the oils that are just sitting on the shelf, probably true. They have been very much processed. Again, processed doesn't mean that it's bad, and that allows them to not go bad. We do know that most of those are going to be pro-inflammatory. So a great book I read quite a while ago is by Udo Erasmus, Fats That Heal and Fats That Kill. It's a little bit outdated now, but his whole history of fatty acids and how they're produced and the different process they go through is still super, super useful. So great book, I'd still recommend. Omega-3 fats, which are the fish oils or sub-forms of that, those are considered kind of anti-inflammatory. And that's generally true. Main credit for this goes to Dr. Holman, 1982, AGCN. Now, again, those fats were around before then. That's kind of the first time they were really officially quantified, and we started doing more research studies on them. Omega-3 fats, especially the fish oils themselves, are very good at potentially reducing the risk of depression. This is from Hiblin JR from The Lancet, 1998. So if we look at the annual prevalence of major depression and we compare that to countries that consume a lot of seafood. So again, this is more of an epidemiologic study. We're just looking for associations here. Can't draw any cause and effect per se. But Japan also consumes a large amount of seafood at this time, especially compared to the U.S. And what we see is they have a dramatically lower relevance of major depression. Now, of course, there could be many other factors there too, but it's interesting when you plot all the countries out. They looked at New Zealand, Canada, France, Puerto Rico, Korea, Taiwan, U.S., West Germany. It's almost a straight kind of linear-ish response, right? So for the geeks who are listening, the R on that was negative 0.84, which is pretty darn significant. American Heart Association does recommend the use of EPA and DHA. There are clinical indications that this can be used to reduce triglycerides. So if you go to your physician and your triglycerides are extremely high, they may actually put you on a prescription fish oil, which is just an ethyl modification, literally, of the fish oil molecules themselves. That does allow them to make it a lot more concentrated, and for whatever weird reason, got approved as a drug, even though there's data on just fish oil themselves that does a very similar thing. But again, you can ask your physician about that. If you're triglycerides are higher but may not meet the technical qualification for a prescription drug, I would ask your physician about using fish oil. There is good data to show that 2 to 4 grams of EPA and DHA per day can start to reduce triglyceride levels. So that's also super interesting. There's tons of stuff on essential fatty acids. We could do like multiple hours on that. A big question though is, where do I get essential fatty acids? Now in the past, I would say, hey, just go eat some cold water fish and you're gonna be fine. And while that is still a valid source, unfortunately, there's two issues with that. One, you'd have to make sure that it is wild caught. Unfortunately, the way that they have changed the feeding process for salmon as of a couple of years ago, paradoxically, farm-raised salmon now is not super high in EPA and DHA. Of course, there's still some present, but it's not nearly as high as what it used to be, and it's not nearly as high as wild-caught salmon. Hat tip to my buddy Dr. Doug, who pointed out that study to me a couple of years ago now. The other downside is, unfortunately, bigger fish tend to have high levels of mercury in them. especially if you're looking at tuna and shark and potentially even salmon, depending upon where it is from. So that is kind of a downside. Now, if you're eating fish once in a while, I don't think you really have anything to worry about. I was recently looking at some blood work from a pretty high-level baseball athlete, and they had very high levels of mercury. So I was asking them about, you know, do you eat a lot of fish? And this particular athlete does eat a lot of fish, especially the bigger fish. And I've seen that more often now. And you can look up specific studies that have done analysis of this. And unfortunately, bigger fish tend to have more mercury associated with them. It's kind of a real bummer. Again, if you're eating this once in a while, I don't think it's anything to worry about. But unfortunately, I would not base trying to get essential fatty acids from large fish as something I would consume on a daily basis. A couple times a week, I think you're going to be fine. Personally, I try to get sockeye salmon that's wild from Alaska if I can. Norwegian salmon tends to be relatively clean. So for me, those are kind of my go-to sources if I'm eating fish. If I'm out at a restaurant once in a while, I'm not going to worry about it all that often. I do like a nice seared tuna steak with a good red Cabernet from time to time. But I'm not eating that on a daily basis, so I'm not going to be too worried about that. Other smaller fish, such as mackerel, things of that nature, those can be good sources also. Those do tend to be much cleaner, so that may be an option for you if you enjoy those kind of smaller fish. And then we're left with supplements. So supplements with fish oil now are pretty darn good. Most of the supplements, I would say, from what I've seen of reporting, which again was mostly done through consumer labs, shows that the quality now is pretty high. Concentrations of them are much higher now than they used to be like 10 years ago. So you can get a pretty high quality fish oil that is pretty clean. Again, I'll list a reference there that I use of one in particular and give you a little code to save some money on that. I think I do make a couple bucks off it or something, but it's really not that much. But that's one I personally use if people were interested. And then the next question is, well, how do I know how much to consume? So if you don't want to do any specific testing, I would say around 2 to maybe 3 grams of EPA plus DHA. So look on the side of the label. It should say EPA and DHA. So add those up and you're looking at around 2 to 3 grams per day. So that's 2,000 milligrams to 3,000 milligrams. Now that's probably on the high side, and that's assuming that most people are going to be deficient or very low. I do a lot of blood testing on this through Dr. Doug's company, and I've probably ran, I've looked at my actual numbers now, probably almost 200 individual tests, I think, so far over the last 5 years. And it's an at-home blood test, so you can do it at home, kind of poke your finger, bleed on some paper, let it dry. They send that in, and they will literally run your blood and look for all levels of fats, so saturated, unsaturated. We can look at even individual fats if we want, arachidonic acid, DGLA. We can go down the list. And they also look at red blood cell content. So they put the little guys in a container, they blow up the red blood cells, and they look to see how much of EPA and DHA, essential fatty acids, actually show up in the red blood cell membrane. And that's really what you kind of want to know at the end of the day, right? So whole blood's going to give us some good info, but we really want to know how much of this EPA and DHA, these essential fatty acids, actually show up in the cellular membrane itself. So the nice part is that this at-home test will do that for you. And I've used that on all my one-on-one M3 clients and just on individual consults there. It's super useful. I mean, I have seen over the years that omega-3 status is probably trending up a little bit. But it's still surprising that most people I see are probably on the lower side. Every once in a while, I'll see someone who is definitely on the high side and definitely good. But that's, I'd say, relatively rare. And again, the nice part is you can do that at home also. So at the end here, I'll have a little bit more information if people want to check that out. It's just miketnelson.com/fishoiltest. So miketnelson.com/fishoiltest, all one word. And that'll have all the information there on the page for you. If you're not doing testing, again, 1 to 3 grams is probably where I've seen most people are at. If you want to do that via food, you can. Smaller mackerel fish like that are going to be your best source. You can get more of the omega-3s, as I mentioned. If you do have a really good conversion rate, that might be enough. Again, I would want a little bit specific testing to see what's going on with that. If you are a vegan, there are algae sources of a DHA now that are available. They are a little bit more expensive, although they have come down in price quite a bit over the past 3 to 4 years. You can what's called retroconvert DHA to EPA. So if you had to pick only one of the two essential ones, although they're both super essential and useful, probably err a little bit on the DH side if you had to. Now, most fish oil is going to have EPA and DHA. You can get special preparations that have a little bit more of one versus the other. But most of the time, you don't have to worry too much about that ratio. Only exception there would be if you're a nursing mother. Probably getting higher amounts of DHA is going to be beneficial because that's going to be passed on to the infant and especially useful for brain development. So today we were talking about micronutrients, even though it's probably not considered a classic micronutrient. Talking about omega-3 fats, specifically fish oils themselves, which are EPA and DHA. So if you're not going to do testing, an average amount, 1 to 3 grams, I would say, is pretty common. If you do have very high triglycerides, I would ask your physician about that. You may qualify for a prescription fish oil, which is just an ethyl modification of it. If not, your physician may recommend that you give a higher dose of fish oil a try. I have seen anecdotally in a fair amount of clients who had high triglycerides, them just increasing their dose of fish oil. Many times their triglyceride levels would go down. Of course, if your triglyceride levels are high, you want to talk to your physician about what else is going on, cardiovascular risk, and things of that nature. But again, omega-3 is super useful. You can get high-quality fish oil sources now. If you want information on the one that I use, you can just go to miketnelson.com/fish oil, and that will send you to all the information there. As a disclosure, I do make a few bucks off of it. I don't even know how much, but it's a few bucks. That's the one that I currently use right now, and that's the one I have actually buy for my family and sister and wife and everybody else. So that's the one that I use. If you want more information on actual testing to see where you're at, this can be done at home. You send it in, send me a copy of the PDF, and I'll create a cool little video analysis for you that breaks down what each individual value means. Are you sufficient? Do you need to go higher? You know, kind of what you would do at that point for just general health purpose. Again, it's not for to replace your physician or anything like that. But if you want to kind of see where you're at, go to miketnelson.com/fishoiltest. And that'll have all the information there for you. And you can get that testing done. If you're one of my online M3 clients, we've already done that for you, so I do include that as part of the training and coaching that we do. So that's it for today. We got one more micronutrient coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Actually gone. Will we ever forget him?
Who?
You know, what's his name?